We're going to turn back to John chapter 14. For the last while we've been considering the Lord's Prayer and prayer in general. And we've already considered that as Jesus drew near the end of his earthly ministry, that he gave quite a considerable amount of teaching on prayer. It becomes apparent to us that prayer is very important because of the place that Jesus himself gave to prayer in the teachings that he gives to his disciples. But what becomes apparent to us is that Jesus is to prayer what he is to everything else concerning our salvation, that he's the beginning and the end of it, that he's the first and the last, that he becomes the power of prayer. Now, he tells us here in this chapter that his disciples were going to be able to do great works. But it becomes clear to us that if they're going to do these great works, that they need to receive power from on high. In verse 10 through to 14, we read, "Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now in these verses we see that the Father, the Son, and the person who's praying are all bound up as one. All things for the Christian are in Christ, and all things for Christ are in God the Father. Anything that we ask in Christ's name, he guarantees us that we will receive it from the Father. Because the key to receiving anything from the Father is Jesus himself. If we ask anything in his name. Now the storehouse of God is as full today as it's ever been. It doesn't get diminished by those that are drawing out of it. It remains full at all times. The only way to tap into that storehouse is through prayer. Jesus tells us that we will be able to do greater works than he himself did. Now we need to believe that. We need to have faith in Jesus. We need to believe that this is what Jesus has secured for his people. And we need to understand that it's as we rely on him, as we trust in his name, not theoretically, but as we commit ourselves to him and everything that he stands for, that's the way we're going to enter into the blessings that he has secured for us. It makes it clear to us in his teaching here that we're to ask, we're to persevere. And if the child or the disciple asks, and if he perseveres in Christ's name, that the Father is obliged to give to him. In Christ's teaching on prayer, it becomes clear that prayer isn't just a ritual for us to perform. It's not just memorizing a prayer. It's not reciting the Lord's Prayer, as we've already considered. It's drawing near to a person. It's drawing near to the living and the true God. Almost every person who has religion prays. But they're not going to get an answer to their prayers because they're not praying to the right God. They're praying to the gods of their own imaginations. And I'm not talking about Muslims and Buddhists and people of other religions. I'm talking about people who belong to the Christian church. They claim to believe in God. They claim to believe in Jesus. Yet their prayers never get heard, because they're not approaching God in the way that God has revealed to us He must be approached. We're not coming relying on Jesus. We need to understand what His name signifies for us. We need to understand that it's as we rely on Him that we're going to draw near to the Father, and that we enter into a living relationship with the Father. That's what prayer enables us to do. It enables us to have communion with God. We speak to Him and He speaks to us. So it's not just the performance of a ritual. It's not something that we do at various times of the day because we've been taught that that's what we should do. We should be praying continually. We should always be committing everything to God, not just when we enter into the act of praying. And when we do that, we're demonstrating that we believe in the God that we claim to believe in, that He is the God who's able to hear us, that He is a God who's able to answer us. He's the one who's willing to hear us. He's the one who's willing to answer us. It's not because He's unwilling to bless us that we don't receive His blessings. It's because we're not coming in the right manner. We're not trusting in the right person. And we're not approaching the living and the true God. We need to approach Him believing that He's willing and able to answer, hear and answer our prayers. That's part of the reason that Jesus came, to reconcile us to God. And we must ask, expecting that we will get. We must seek, expecting that we're going to find. And we must keep on knocking, believing that the door will be opened. If we're desiring what we're desiring for God's glory and for our spiritual welfare and for the spiritual welfare of others. We've already considered that part of the problem is that we're not prepared to persevere in prayer. Now, in several of the teachings that Jesus gives on prayer, He makes it clear that we need to persevere in it. It's not something that's just a simple formula to be uttered and we will receive on our request. It's something that we will wrestle with. When we look at the characters of the Bible who were successful in their prayers, we see that they wrestled with God. Daniel prayed for 3 weeks before he got an answer to his prayer. Fasting and praying for 3 weeks, not just for 10 minutes, morning, noon, and evening. We see that prayer is probably one of the hardest things that we will ever be called on to do. It's a lot harder than preaching. It's a lot easier for me to preach a sermon than it is to pray. It requires a lot more work on my part in order to come into communion with God and to believe that He is hearing my prayers. Now it's prayer that nurtures and strengthens our faith, because we will soon grow tired of praying to a God that doesn't answer us. Just as you will soon grow tired of going to see somebody that continues to ignore you. You'll give up doing that. And the same is true concerning prayer. And if a generation ever needed prayer, I believe that this generation today needs it more than many previous generations. But the reason that we don't have prayer is because we don't really believe that God is going to hear and answer these prayers. We're not seeking to approach Him in the right manner. We're not seeking to persevere. We read in the Gospels on one occasion that when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, that He found His disciples defeated, humiliated, and confused in the presence of their enemy. Why? Well, a father had brought a child possessed with a demon to have the demon cast out. They had tried to cast out the demon and they failed. Now, they had been commissioned by Jesus to do that very same work. Jesus had given them authority to do that. But they had failed. Then later on, the disciples asked Him, why did we fail? Why couldn't we cast out that demon? And Jesus replied that kind will only come forth through nothing but prayer and fasting. Their faith had not been nurtured by prayer. They had failed in their prayer life before they had failed in their ability to cast out the demon. They had failed in their faith because they had failed in their prayer. And the one thing that was necessary to do God's work was to allow God to work for them. Because the work that God requires of His disciples isn't something that we can do in and of ourselves. The standard is far higher than we could ever achieve. The works that God requires of His disciples, we can only do in and through Himself. I can do nothing of myself, but Paul says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Now, very often we sit back and say, well, we can't do it. Things are at a very low ebb. We can't change it. Well, that's true. We can't change it. But if we're the Lord's disciples, we know somebody that can change it. We're in touch with the person, the only person, who can bring about the change that we desire. God can do it. And He can do far greater works than we could ever imagine that we would ever do. We have the promise that He will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But as we've already considered when we were looking at chapter 15, the problem is that we take things out of their context. All of these chapters, 14 through to 16, are all part of one discourse. In 15, He tells us that we must abide in Him. That His words must abide in us. And then whatever we ask in His name, I will do it for you. We must abide in Him. And we're not to think that we can ask for anything. His word must give us the material to pray. His word must enter into our minds so that we know what we're praying for, that it's according to God's will. And if His word is allowed to shape our prayers, and if we're seeking to rely on Christ, then the Father will hear us. That's the only way we're going to draw life into our souls. To abide in Him. Just as the branch abides in the vine. It can't produce anything of itself. It must abide in Him. We must draw that life-giving sap from Christ. And that's the attitude that we're to adopt in prayer. And that's the only attitude that will give us ability in our prayer to make our prayers effectual. That we abide in Him. Let His word give us an understanding on the things that we should be praying for. Because if we don't abide in Him, and if we don't allow His word to shape and fashion the prayers that we offer up, then we're not going to produce any fruit. Praying people under Christ must learn what praying people under Moses learned. It's not by bread alone that we will live, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. His word must abide in us. It must shape our prayers. And we must believe, because that's what He's revealed to us, that He's made it possible for our prayers to be heard by the Father. Anything that we ask in His name, the Father will grant it. If we're truly relying on Him. So the life of Christ flows through us, through the words, the life-giving words that He's given to us. And that's what gives power to prayer. This is what gives breath to prayer. This is what makes the body and the food and the bones of prayer. And He wants us to be successful in prayer because He wants us to bear fruit. As He tells us in verse 16 of chapter 15, where He tells us that we did not choose Him. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. Now, if we're not fruitful, it's not because we can't be fruitful. Jesus has made it possible for us to be fruitful. It's because we're not abiding in Him. And we're not allowing His word to shape us and fashion us. Now, fruit is the product of life. That's the evidence that we see at this time of the year when things start to bud and eventually things will start bearing fruit. Because there's life all around us. Now, we might at times go through a winter. But if we have life in our souls, we will yet bear fruit. If we abide in Him. Now we must bear fruit. Because if we're not bearing fruit, we as branches are worthless. And Jesus says, worthless branches are just fit for nothing but the fire. They're going to be burnt up. Now He wants His disciples to bear fruit, and fruit that shall remain. Not fruit that will perish, something that will give us a buzz for a short period of time, but something that will continue to bear an effect upon our lives, because as we considered at the outset of our study here in prayer, what God wants for all of His children is that we bear the image of His Son. That's the fruit that shall remain, that we become more Christ-like. Now, the more Christ-like we become, obviously, the more fruitful that we will become. Now, how are we going to be fruitful? Well, we're not going to be fruitful if we're steeped in worldly soil, if we're taken up by the things of this world, and if we give our hearts to these things. We're going to be fruitful if we are rooted in grace, and if we're drawing from the means of grace. Just as the branch draws from the vine so that it'll bear fruit, the Christian draws the life-giving sap from Christ so that we will bear fruit. We need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words. We need to be rooted in the means of grace. Every means of grace that He's put at our disposal, His Word being the primary means. And prayer, obviously, following on from that. Because it's His Word that gives us material to pray for. And if we exercise faith, we need to pray. Because a person who claims to have faith and who's not praying doesn't have faith. Because there will be no works to follow it. He's not going to bear any fruit. And faith without works is dead. Jesus, in His parables, gives us examples of the danger of that, appearing to be something and being nothing. The fig in the vineyard that the gardener wanted to dung because the owner wanted it ripped up and thrown into the rubbish tip. The gardener said, "Give it more time, I'll persevere with it, I'll fertilize it, and it might bear fruit next year." And that's why God gives us time in this world. He's persevering with us. We deserve to be ripped up if we're not bearing fruit and thrown into the rubbish tip. But He's persevering because He wants us to bear fruit. He on one occasion came to a barren fig tree and He cursed it, because it was bearing leaves, but it didn't have any fruit. We can appear to have leaves. We can appear to be Christians. But if we're not bearing fruit, then we're still under the curse. Now, Christ came to remove the curse so that we would bear fruit. The Christian life is not how many people imagine it to be, something that enables us to solve the riddles of the Bible, or being able to understand a lot of the mysteries of the Bible, to answer some curious questions. Being a Christian is about bearing fruit. And we can only bear fruit as we trust in Christ. And we can only trust in Christ through praying and putting our confidence in Him. And when we ask in His name, we will experience the joy of salvation that He gives to His people, because He brings us into fellowship with His Father. So it's not a magic formula that we stick to the end of our prayer in Jesus' name. It's committing ourselves to Him. Jesus Himself speaks some fearful words in the Sermon on the Mount, where He tells us that many will say to Him on that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done wonderful things in your name? To which you would reply, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. To be a Christian is not just an outward reformation, to cast out demons out of our lives. We can do that in our own strength. To be a Christian is not being able to tell what the Bible contains to others, to prophesy, because that's what prophesying is, explaining the Word of God to people. We can do that. That's what these people did. They reformed their lives. They helped other people reform their lives. But that didn't save them. They were able to explain to people what the Bible contained. But that didn't save them. Because they hadn't trusted in Christ. Their faith was not in Christ. It was in their own works, their own ability. And it appeared to bear fruit, but it didn't bear any fruit. It bore leaves, just like the fig tree. It appeared to be a fig tree, but it wasn't fulfilling the purpose of a fig tree. It wasn't bearing the fruit. And God is looking for fruit. Jesus said on that Sermon on the Mount that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. The Pharisees had an exemplary life outwardly. They bore lovely leaves, but they didn't bear spiritual fruit. The standard is far higher than what an outward reformation can produce. Paul kept the law faultlessly. Nobody could point a finger at his life. So he had cast out many demons. He prophesied. He spoke to people about the Word of God. But he wasn't bearing spiritual fruit. And he came to recognize them. And he came to consider all his own works as rubbish. His own righteousness was fit for nothing but the dunghill, in comparison to the righteousness which is of God by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. We must ask in His name. Not just a magic formula. We must ask trusting in Him. Trusting in His name. That means that we will stand for everything that He stood for. For righteousness, for truth, for holiness, for zeal. And we can only do that through the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need. We need the power. Because we don't have it in and of ourselves. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promises that whosoever asks for the Holy Spirit will be given him. Because it's the Holy Spirit that will teach us the truth, not just that we might have it intellectually, but how to apply it to our lives. We must apply the truth to our lives, so that He will take of the things of Christ and apply it unto us. Because that's the only way we're going to come into the presence of the Father. And it's the Father that's going to bring on this work. We need His blessing. The disciples were soon going to be bereft of the help that Jesus gave to them. But as a result of the work that He was going to finish, He was going to be able to send the Holy Spirit into the hearts of all of His people, so that He could work wherever His people were in the world. And that's how His people were going to do greater works than He was able to do. Because whilst he was here, he was confined geographically to the location that he was in, and he could only work in that location. But as a result of finishing the work that the Father had given him to do, he has earned the gift of sending the Holy Spirit into the hearts of all of his people, so that he is wherever his people are. And wherever his people are living in dependence upon Christ, they are doing his work. So he's able to do greater works now than he could do whilst he was in the world. And that was for their encouragement, that they were going to be the instruments that he would use to bring about the fulfilling of his own kingdom. He encourages them. He speaks to them about heaven, what their final reward is going to be. He encourages them against the dangers that they were going to be confronted with, the difficulties that they would encounter in this world, to be of good courage, that they would be able to overcome because he overcame. And whatever he was able to do, they would be able to do if they put their trust in him. And it's quite clear through his teaching the importance of prayer, because prayer is what puts us into contact with him. It's prayer that enables us to lay hold of the blessings that he has secured for us, if we're putting our confidence in him. And this is why Paul could say to the Philippians, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." He can supply all of our needs according to the riches of his glory, which are laid up for us in Christ Jesus. It belongs to us. Not because we deserve it or because we've earned it, but because he's secured that for us. And if we rely on his name, we will receive the gifts of salvation. We will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We will be able to do what he requires of his people to do, because through Christ Jesus, we can do all things, if we've got the faith to believe it. Because Jesus has secured this great privilege and blessing for his people. And the Father wants to glorify the Son, because the Son has glorified him. The Father is not grudgingly holding back his blessing. He is more than willing to open the heavens and to pour out his blessings. And if we're not receiving his blessings, it's not because God has changed. It's not because God has suddenly decided he's no longer going to be gracious. It's because we're unwilling to seek them in the prescribed manner. We're not willing to trust in Christ. We'd rather trust in ourselves. We're not willing to draw from the rich resources of his grace. We are still steeped and rooted in the things of this world. We need to be transferred out of that soil into the spiritual soil that will produce fruit in our lives. May God grant that he would bless to us these thoughts. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, there's probably never been a Christian that's lived that hasn't come to the point that he acknowledges, "Lord, teach us how to pray." because we recognize that we have so much to be taught, and we understand that we will never learn these lessons except as we are taught by your Holy Spirit, as he teaches us from your truth, your word. And we need to steep ourselves in that word in order that we might be taught, so that we will be able to lay hold of the great blessings that Jesus has secured for us, that we might come with that confidence in Christ that would bring us into the presence of the Father expecting to receive. Because that's the confidence that your children ought to have when they approach you in prayer. That you're the God who has made provision to meet with all of our needs. So we ask, Lord, that you would continue to teach us how to pray. That you would give us the right attitude. And that you would give us the right words so that we can exercise our faith in the living and the true God, and not the God of our imagination. Lead us, O Lord, to these ends. Teach us by your truth, because it's your truth that will set us free. For we're asking it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to conclude by singing in Psalm number 5 on page 203. Psalm number 5, from the beginning of the psalm. Give ear unto my words, O Lord, my meditation way. Hear my loud cry, my King, my God, for I to thee will pray. Lord, thou shalt early hear my voice, I early will direct my prayer to thee, and looking up, an answer will expect. Down to the end of verse 7, Psalm 5, from the beginning. Give ear unto my words, O Lord, my meditation way.
Thank you.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.